Prepare yourself for Big News Wednesday. Welcome, one and all, to Big News Wednesday with me, John Arulla, and Sharon Reed, a very sleepy Sharon Reed, who didn't get to sleep last night. I didn't have time before the show to tell you. I was able to fall asleep last night. Ooh. And then my very senior dog, who has a lot of health problems, woke me up at 3 to start going outside for roughly 45 minutes. And then he started evacuating every orifice in his body all over my house. And so I spent about an hour cleaning things. And then I couldn't go back to sleep because I'd been awake for too long. So it was a fun day. We're both going to be loopy. God knows what's going to happen.
We got up at the same time. 6 a.m. Yeah, exactly. On the East Coast.
Look, I will at least admit I got more sleep than you. So I'm more worried about you right now, but we'll see what happens. In any event, there are other people with, I think, the visible effects of chronic insomnia. Mike Lindell coming up later on in the aftermath is a guy who clearly has not been getting enough sleep for the last 40 or 50 years. And more besides, maybe you can throw Carrie Lake in that mix as well. But we got so much to talk about on today's show. Not only, I guess, the last chapter of the Ronna McDaniel media, you know, experience. We've got that for you. It was about as good as the Willy Wonka experience in Scotland. Is the SCOTUS about to destroy a medication abortion? We'll get into that. And some more details coming out of the hush money case, which is rapidly approaching. Donald Trump gagged once again and yet still talking. So we're gonna look at the good and the bad of all of that, and also debate what might happen if that dumb donkey decides to testify in his own behalf. So lots to look forward to. And that's just in the first hour. Fun stuff in the aftermath as well. So everyone, buckle up for that. Hit the like button on your, if you're on a platform where that makes any sense. And with all that said, Sharon, you ready to do this thing?
I've been born ready. Who knows what I'll say
now? Awesome. You're born ready, but not slept ready. By the way, behind the scenes, we should check. Can we do the Blue Apron gift cards again? I know it was supposed to start something now. Damn. Okay, maybe someday. Anyway, in the absence of gift cards, here's the news.
I think that Rachel Maddow is guilty of malignant wokeism. God did not anoint her the arbiter of who was appropriate for her network to hire or what their point of view is. I think that there is an arrogance about the whole notion that the 75 million people that voted for Donald Trump are all out to lunch, that they don't have the right to make a selection. She would have or could have spilled the beans on the fake electors and the alternate slots, slates and so forth and so on. Instead, you had this cabal of aging superstars at the network who insisted that this person was somehow inappropriate. Says who and according to whom. It really is outrageous. This is censorship.
Oh, I think according to those people, I think those people were giving their opinion. But we'll return to Geraldo, don't you worry. First of all, though, the big news, down goes Ronna McDaniel. She lasted, I think, about 12 and a half minutes at NBC. But now, after the pervasive effect of malignant wokeism run amok, she's no longer going to be on NBC. And she ran afoul of the fact that she was in no way qualified to hold the position. I know that it's crazy to think that people should be qualified and shouldn't have a long demonstrated history of being active, willful, anti-democratic liars. But NBC seemed to think that in this case, it was important. But that said, is it censorship, as Geraldo was referring to? Is it wokeism? To say that Ronna McDaniel shouldn't be paid $300,000 a year to briefly, occasionally comment on the news, is that saying that 75 million voters didn't get to vote for Trump? I don't think that. I haven't heard, you know, Rachel Maddow claim that. But anyway, I want to get to what NBC actually said. So there's been a lot of criticism, obviously, including from inside of MSNBC about the hire. They said, this is a chairman of the NBC Universal Group said, there's no doubt that the last several days have been difficult for the news group. Listening to the legitimate concerns of many of you, I've decided that Ronna McDaniel may not be an NBC News contributor. I want to personally apologize to our team members who felt we left them down. Let them down. While this was a collective recommendation by some members in the leadership team, I approved it and take full responsibility for it. Okay, so that's what they're saying. Now, is it censorship? Because that's the claim. Is it malignant wokeism? What is the woke aspect of this? Like, she's not. I don't even like their right wing BS version of what wokeness is. She's not being fired for being white, which is what they normally claim. She's being fired because she's not qualified or trustworthy to comment on the news. It would be impossible for anyone watching this to trust anything that she says because she has willfully lied. She has literally changed her name to line up with the Trump cult. She advanced the big lie. She was a participant in the fake electors, the fake slots, the fake sluts, whatever it is that Geraldo is talking about there. That's who she is. And to fire her for that is not censorship. Or if it is, if not giving a person a show or a spot on NBC is censorship, then okay, Fox News, where's my show? You're censoring me right now. I feel very, very censored. Hashtag John on Fox, because I'm not on, I've never been brought on as a commentator. I've never been given a spot, maybe a weekend show or something. It's either censorship or it's not. Or is it that Fox News has some malignant wokeism of their own that they're not bringing me on to the five or outnumbered or whatever stupid programming they have, Gutfeld or something? That's not how it works. But did you notice, by the way, that this censorship for being fired only goes in one direction? If right wingers are not provided opportunities and large quantities of money, that's censorship, that's wokeism, that's cancel culture. If the left is never given an opportunity on any of these networks, that's just the way it works, baby. That's just the status quo, that's the establishment. How many strong leftists are commentators on these programs? There have been some. Mehdi Hasan was good. He got fired. Was that malignant wokeism? Was that censorship? I didn't see Geraldo getting all worked up over that. But for Ronna McDaniel, suddenly it's a major issue and everybody has to have a take. But Sharon, I am interested in yours. What do you think about this?
I mean, she's a lawyer. Can Jason Blair be hired to do the same? Mm-hmm. Plagiarist, there's others throughout history. It just is what it is. If you're going to attempt to be a credible news organization, then you don't hire a lawyer for $300,000. Now, I mean, it's good money if you can get it. 4 days, $300,000. It's nutty. I love the fact that these quote unquote aging stars said, nah, we don't want to sit next to you. Okay. They do that about other things too. But now she had to go. It's nutty to me that we don't really hear or see anything of her defending herself, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I the aging superstars. For how old is Geraldo?
What is he talking about? I thought he was talking about himself.
I think he's in his early 40s, I think. But anyway, like how old is Sean Hannity? They're being utterly ridiculous. These slots are valuable, or at least we're led to believe that they are valuable. And clearly they choose people for certain perspectives. Now, she's an insider. Okay, that is a perspective that is almost always advantaged in getting these sorts of slots. You know what you could do? You could bring on like an activist. You know, since in the news, trans people are attacked literally every day. How about you bring in like a trans person maybe to take that slot? Pay them $300,000 for their experience. They're far more likely to be honest about what they think than Ronna McDaniel. Just a little idea, what do I know? Maybe bring on someone who up until now has been making the minimum wage, since you guys constantly talk about economic policy, despite the fact that every single one of you are millionaires or will soon be. Maybe have a little bit of representation for something other than another person who's gonna spread the big lie. Donald Trump had to weigh in on the firing of Ronna McDaniel, but he was really caught between a rock and a hard place here, because he has to attack NBC because they're NBC, they're the fake news. He's got to attack him. But he also doesn't like Ronna McDaniel, so he has to defend her while also attacking her. It's difficult, but he proves himself to be up to the task, as you'll see. Wow, Ronna McDaniel got fired by fake news NBC. She only lasted 2 days. And this after McDaniel went out of her way to say what they wanted to hear. See that right there? It seems like he's attacking NBC. They're not being fair. After all, she now no longer is spreading the big lie, supposedly. And she deleted a bunch of her insane tweets. So she did what they wanted. But that's also him pointing out that she did that, that she's being fake and dishonest. But he's gonna attack her even worse in a second. It leaves her in a very strange place. It's called Never Neverland, and it's not a place you wanna be. What are you talking about? Have you seen Earth? Who wouldn't take the opportunity to to go to Never Never Land instead. They have white sand beaches, they have pirate parties. You can literally fly if you just keep a happy thought in your mind. And you might not be able to capable of doing that in our world, but in Never Never Land, there's great reason to have positive thoughts. They have feasts and there's surfboards that go along tracks. It's a great place. Anyway, these radical left lunatics are crazy and the top people at NBC are weak. They're broken and embarrassed by low ratings, highly overpaid talent. Bring back free and fair press like Fox News. Make America great again. So he's pointing out that she got fired. Okay. By the way, he'll go on to say, I'm not going to read the whole thing. He had a whole big thing about Chuck Todd, who, I guess to Chuck Todd's credit, he was one of the first that was very out in front and criticizing the hire of Ronna McDaniel. He points out that he was fired for his poor performance. Okay. Which is true. And look, I'm going to give Chuck Todd credit here. I don't know why anyone would sit down and watch 10 minutes of Chuck Todd talking about the pod, about news, but whatever. I will remind everyone, you know who else was fired for poor performance? Donald Trump. And he wasn't just fired from a stupid TV show. He was fired from being president of the United States because he did a terrible job. He biffed it big time and hundreds of thousands of people died as a result of it during the pandemic. So it's funny for him to lash out at other people when he himself has been yeeted out of positions that he desperately wants to get back. But anyway, Sharon, what do you think about Trump's thoughts on this?
Well, it's a typical narcissist behavior. The not tweets, but Truth Social memos that you've read out loud there translate like this. You leave a toxic relationship and your abuser says, no one's ever going to love you. No one's ever going to support you. You'll never have it as great as you had it with me. That's what it is. It's just classic. They don't even need to crack open one of those psychology textbooks. This is what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, 100%. You know what? Like, I will say, I'm glad that they listened to the criticism. It kind of seems weird, though, that they did only in this case. Like, so often, what happens? People do stuff on the right. They say insane things. They advocate for violence. They advance conspiracy theories. They lie. And then as soon as they're ready to be done with it, they're embraced by, you know, polite society and their reputation is cleansed. It doesn't always work. Megyn Kelly tried it and it didn't work for her, but it almost always is at least attempted. And here's the thing. You don't have to take these scarce opportunities with big paychecks and give them to people who you only know about because they're terrible liars who want to destroy democracy. The country is filled with people, okay? Educators and academics and authors and, you know, all sorts of people that you could bring in that have never once advocated for violence, that have never once advanced anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. Consider maybe giving them a slot. And so I'm glad to see them like responding to the criticism, but I wonder if they will learn like the bigger lesson that you don't have to cozy up like to those in power. And it's like Ronna McDaniel doesn't even have any power anymore. She's been knocked out of the MAGA movement. What is the point of having her? And I would say, look, if I'm being charitable, the point probably is that they think it's going to bring right-wing viewers in. What kind of a plan is that? Like conservatives who have been trained to think for decades that CNN and MSNBC are like satanic media outlets. They'll be like, oh, they've got Ronna now though. I guess I'll tune in for 2 minutes of her commentary on an hour-long panel. Who the hell thinks that would work? Anyway, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think that it won't work. They'll view her as a traitor. They were already viewing her as such, MAGA world. But I also want to say this. I think the litmus test of trying to destroy democracy is a fair one. But I also see example after example, John, all over the dial of people who stood next to a disgusting racist. That's why do we have to gloss over that? And then they're suddenly have a main slot on The View and they're part of the administration that lied to us, communications director. Now they're an expert. And very few of them have to do what Chris Christie, I guess, chose to do and at least try to make amends. They just sit there and they're suddenly deemed credible. It's like someone took a magic wand. It really sucks. These are coveted slots, as you clearly 100%. Laid out, and they don't deserve them. It's not about censorship. It's about you are a jerk and you don't get to have this after misbehaving.
Yeah, 100%. And it's so weird. Like for her, it doesn't seem like it's going to work. The attempt to like I don't know, have a second chapter of who she is. Like, I deleted all my Biden tweets. Can I be a nice girl again? Like, but it often does work, especially for influencers. Like, you could just totally remake yourself. Like, Tulsi Gabbard was like a leftist at one point. And no, now she says the right thing that this other group wants, and they're totally fine with it. And there are examples of that all over the political spectrum. People remaking themselves. The Krasensteins were like Mueller, like cartoon drawing fanboys. And they got all this clout, and they got all this money. And now they're Elon Musk fanboys. Now they're on the right. Like, and their fans are like, yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah, I liked you like that. And now you're a totally different thing. That's cool. There's no authenticity. There's no through line. There's no attempt to explain the evolution. I'm just good with this now. Why doesn't authenticity count for anything? I don't understand it. This week, the Supreme Court took up a case, and the plan for this case was to allow the Supreme Court to do what they started to do with the destruction of Roe v. Wade and take another step to destroying access to the reproductive freedoms that you've probably come to expect through the course of your life. In this case, destroying access to medication abortion. But so far, it looks like the plan is not exactly coming together. Now, the origins of this is you have a group of doctors who notably are not required to prescribe the medication abortion. So you might think, well, then what's their like dog in this fight? And that's something the Supreme Court is gonna ask them. But they say they've experienced harm because they treat patients who've experienced side effects from it. So even though they themselves didn't have to take it, they didn't have to prescribe it, it really has nothing to do with them. They were once near a person who took it. So can we ban it nationwide? And that seems like a really weird case to make. And I'm not just saying that. Even the conservative Supreme Court seems to be thinking that. So we want to start off with a little bit of an interaction between Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson and the apparently the lawyer who is the wife, Erin Hawley, the wife of Josh Hawley. So let's take a look at how that went.
If we were to find that there are conscientious objections that say hospitals take them into account and these doctors do have a way to not do these kinds of procedures, should we end this case on that basis?
No, Your Honor, we would welcome that holding, but it's not broad enough to remedy our doctor's harm.
Why?
Because these are emergency situations, they can't waste precious moments scrubbing in.
I'm saying, assuming we have a world in which they can actually lodge the objections that you say that they have. My question is, isn't that enough to remedy their issue? Do we have to also entertain your argument that no one else in the world can have this drug, or no one else in America should have this drug in order to protect your clients?
Yeah, so as you saw in the first bit, she's not gonna answer that because she has a difficult job. She has to take people who don't really have any standing to advocate for a judgment from the Supreme Court that goes way, way, way miles beyond anything having to do with what the doctors even comically claim is the harm that they're suffering. And it isn't just the Democratic, you know, like the so-called liberal justices who are getting involved in this. We have Neil Gorsuch as well. Let's take a look at that.
Given the emergency nature of these situations.
Counsel, let me interrupt there, I'm sorry. I think Justice Jackson's saying, and let's spotch all that, okay? With respect to your clients. Normally in Article 3, traditional equitable remedies, we issue and we say over and over again, provide a remedy sufficient to address the plaintiff's asserted injuries and go no further. We have before us a handful of individuals who have asserted a conscience objection. Normally, we would allow a equitable relief to address them. Recently, I think what Justice Jackson's alluding to, we've had, one might call it a rash of universal injunctions or vacatures. And this case seems like a prime example of turning what could be a small lawsuit into a nationwide legislative assembly on an FDA rule or any other federal government action.
Okay, so it took him way, way too long to get through his point. But the point is that you're claiming a harm that you want to be relieved from. Why is it not enough that we simply stop you from being harmed in that way? Why is it that we take this and then we elevate it to effectively like kind of a quasi act of Congress, where rather than having the normal legislative procedure wherein a particular medication is going to be banned, you just say you don't like that other people took it and we're suddenly going to ban it. And that is what they're trying to do. It looks like some of the conservatives are not interested in that. We might get to Chief Justice John Roberts. Others seem like they do want to do this, but it would look really bad if they were to accept the argument that these doctors are making. Sam Alito in particular, like specifically asks, like, is there not someone who has better standing in this case? But anyway, that's how it's looking right now. Sharon, I'm curious what you think about this. Do you like accept the consensus that it doesn't look like they're going to ban access to this medication, which has been available for many years, is available, you know, across the world? What do you think?
I think women may at least get to keep something. Okay, it looks like they will not do this, although I think you're right, Clarence Thomas, Justice Alito would love to, you know, they kind of danced with it just a little bit. But this is so silly. When you think about it, what they're really saying here is, well, if it's my ball and I'm not willing to play, and so nobody else can play with it. But I gotta ask too, how does this case get to the highest court in the land? The arguments now with this ridiculous Supreme Court are so lazy. They're not even trying to play it off. This was a terrible case. This is a terrible job because they think it's just going to be greenlighted. Just greenlight the thing and get us dial it back until, you know, the roaring 20s or something, and women will have no rights again. That's how lazy this argument was.
100%. Yeah, and look, maybe they're crazy enough to take it up, but not crazy enough in this particular case to actually rule the way these insane doctors want them to. But let's bear in mind, they already killed Roe v. Wade. Like, they're insane. They're everything the right spent the last 50 years saying they don't want the Supreme Court to be. They're activists. They're taking the place of the Senate and the House of Representatives and delivering effectively legislative solutions to right-wing grievances and culture war issues. That's all it is, which means that the only solution is going to be, it's not like, you know, us pointing out their hypocrisy or their ethical, you know, violations and things like that is not going to solve a problem because they don't answer to literally anyone. The only solution is to replace the bad ones with ones who are less bad. And that is a battle that is going to have to be waged over the course of many, many years. Now, it can start coming up in the next 4 years. And I don't necessarily mean that if Biden gets in, he'll get spots on the Supreme Court. That is not guaranteed. But if Trump wins, then you could have some early retirements from some of the incredibly old justices, and they'll be replaced with a completely out of their mind 40-year-old, you know, right-wing evangelical zealots. So the battle continues every single day. Even if this case goes the way it should, if common sense, you know, exists, it doesn't mean that the battle won't continue on into November. Donald Trump effed around, and once again, he's in the process of finding out in a way that he has often found out of late, and it has to do with his insane rants on social media. So he went off on the judge and the judge's family in the hush money case that he's currently racing towards. And as a result of that, he's got another gag order slapped down on him. So here are the sort of messages that he has been sending. I'm not gonna read the whole thing because they're way, way, way too long, but it starts with the important part, which is Judge Juan Merchan, who is suffering from an acute case of Trump derangement syndrome, whose daughter represents crooked Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Adam Shifty Schiff, and other radical liberals, has just posted a picture of me behind bars, her obvious goal, and makes it completely impossible for me to get a fair trial. She doesn't have anything to do with this, by the way. Even if she posted the picture, she has literally nothing to do with this. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so then he goes on to say, so let me get this straight. The judge's daughter is allowed to post pictures of her dream of putting me in jail. Blah, blah, blah. Again, have you seen the pictures that Donald Trump and his family have posted online? Don Jr. posted a picture mocking the fact that Nancy Pelosi's husband had his skull cracked open by a hammer. Nah, that's not a problem, I guess. But anyway, as a result of those sorts of messages, attacking the judge, attacking his family, the judge slapped a gag order on him, announcing it, saying, given that the eve of trial is upon us, it's coming up in just a few weeks, it is without question that the imminency of the risk of harm to potential witnesses and those sorts of things is now paramount. And this gag order is consequential. As an expert puts it, you can take a look at this.
The order is identical to the order in the D.C. Circuit that they approved, except this one goes one step beyond and also protects jurors. But the D.C. Circuit hadn't considered whether or not to protect jurors at this stage. Narrowly drawn. The judge, in fact, saying, I have to do this in order to protect the administration of justice. I don't think the order is going anywhere, so I don't think Trump could even think really about appealing it successfully, and he really has to stay within this line. If he doesn't, then I think there could be serious consequences.
Serious consequences, including jail time?
Yes, at a certain point. And, you know, just last night, Maggie Haberman was on CNN explaining it's going to be quite interesting to see him sitting there as a former president in this courtroom 4 days a week, and then with people who he doesn't like to see getting under his skin and then going on the campaign trail on the weekends. What does he say on the weekends? Now we have a gag order that says if he goes after those witnesses, etc., there could be consequences. And at a certain point, he could be held in contempt, and that could mean jail time because there's nothing else that the court would be able to use to in order to deter him. And he seems undeterrable otherwise.
I agree with that last part. I find it impossible to imagine that he'd be thrown up for contempt of court, but maybe we'll find out because he's not going to stop attacking people in the trial. You know how I know that? Because those messages I showed you to start off this segment, they weren't the ones that led to the gag order. He sent those this morning after the gag order. So now that doesn't mean that those messages will get him locked up because there is a very important wrinkle to this gag order. He attacked the judge. He attacked the judge's family. And as a result of that, there's the gag order. But the interesting thing is that the gag order does not stop Trump from attacking the judge and the judge's family. As was listed kind of in that video, it's the lawyers and witnesses and jurors and things like that. And that's good. It should probably go without saying that you can't dox a juror in your criminal trial. But I guess with Trump, you do have to say that. And so the gag order's there. Trump is not happy about it at all. Sharon, what do you think about it?
We're so used to his antics and his all caps shouting and how everything is sad that I think sometimes we fail to realize the gravity of this thing. If you put in a simple Google search like I did, I just wrote federal racketeering, mobsters, gag orders, juries, Trump came up. Every entry underneath is Trump. And these are the kind of gag orders that are used for, you know, John Gotti. Okay.
Yeah.
These are the toughest. We got to protect the jury. That's what they've given him here because he's a loose cannon that can really get people hurt.
Yeah. You know, I 100% agree. Obviously, it is interesting that they left open attacking the judge and the judge's family. Like, if I was a member of the judge's family, I'd be worried right now, literally for my safety. And the interesting thing is, I'm not even just worried about it because they could end up being harmed. But also because, and I'm not a lawyer, you know, I share that largely with Alina Habba. I'm not a lawyer, so bear that in mind. Don't follow my legal advice like you would not follow Alina Habba's. If he spends the next 8 weeks attacking the judge in vicious terms, and then they end up throwing him in jail or something as a result of this, like if you were Trump's lawyer, wouldn't you claim a mistrial? Like how could the judge and the jury possibly give him a fair, you know, trial when he's been attacking the judge? So the judge is probably mad about it. Again, they don't seem to be worried about that, but I would be a little bit concerned. What I will say is we've got about 2.5 weeks until the trial begins. And we're gonna talk a little bit about the timeline of the trial, but that's 2.5 weeks where Trump is going to have to not attack the lawyers and things like that. But I am sure that on a daily basis, he is going to be demonizing the judge. So expect that. And remember the stakes here. 34 counts of falsifying business records in this hush money case. 1 to 4 potential years of prison time if he is found guilty of those. We'll have to see.
Of course, the big question is, will Trump take the stand?
It would be extraordinary if he took the stand.
Oh my gosh, it would be, I think, reckless, but it would be certainly very dramatic. One important point on the appeal. If Donald Trump tries to appeal this gag order, A, he will lose. B, it will not delay the start of this trial.
So easier said than done because delays have come from less than that. But the trial is expected to come. And when it comes, it's going to last for a bit. So you're going to need to buckle up. Here's an overview of what the timing could look like for it.
How long do you think this trial will go?
So the DA has said 6 weeks, but trials, having done them, have a way of sliding and extending. Maybe a juror gets sick, maybe a witness's testimony lasts longer. The other thing is the DA can only estimate the DA's case. The DA doesn't necessarily know what the defense is going to do in their case. Now, a defendant does not have to put on any affirmative case.
And in this case, I don't know what that affirmative case would be. He had the affair. You know, they're not going to adjudicate whether he had the affair, but he did. He tried. He paid her the money. He lied about it in his paperwork. It seems pretty open and shut. I don't know why that takes 6 weeks, but they're saying that it might. But Sharon, I do want your thoughts about that possible wrinkle. We still don't know if Trump is going to testify. And if Trump ever testifies live on TV, he's going to have to give a campaign speech. He doesn't have the ability to control himself or to self-censor. He's going to be calling her horse face. He's going to be talking like he's going to be talking about how I never would have paid her hush money. She's not my type. She's a six at best. Like he's going to be saying stuff like that and totally prejudicing the jury against himself. In addition to, we know the strategy of the prosecution is already going to be to bring up the various things that he said in this area. He's going to prove those things to be accurate. What do you think?
Well, I think it's going to be delicious. Number one, whether he testifies or not, he's going to say he is going to take the stand. He's going to say it until the last second. Now, he may very well do it, you know, and be cautioned again and again about this campaign speech. He won't answer a single direct question, not a single one. And no. It's not going to just last 6 weeks, John. It's going to last probably, if his lawyers have their way, it could last 3 months. I once worked at Channel 2 in Baltimore and a story fell through. And instead of putting another one in its place, I had producers in my ear who kept saying, talk slower, talk slower. I mean, I did the best I could, but you can't make up 6 minutes, okay? But that was their philosophy. And I think they'll object and they'll stand up and they'll sit down and someone will have to go to the bathroom. Someone's sick, maybe they're sick. I think I might have COVID, I don't know. But it's not gonna be 6 weeks, it's gonna be a circus, particularly if he has to be there. Might as well put on a show.
That is hilarious. They try to do that. You talk slower. And then after you're done making a point, you say, let me repeat myself for those in the back of the room. And then just say the whole thing again. Thankfully, the problem on this show has always been that we try to fit way too much rather than the opposite. But anyway, that's an interesting strategy on their part. So your prediction, I just want to get us sort of down for the record. At this point, your prediction is that he will testify?
See, this one, because Stormy is ready and is announcing she's ready, I don't think he's going to do it.
Okay. I really hope that she does. I do hope that. I don't think that he will. And I know that he wants to. And if we had not been through the E. Jean Carroll trial, I would say that he would, because she's going to be revealing all this stuff about him. And there's going to be stuff about the magazine being thrown around, stuff about mushrooms being thrown around. It's going to be disgusting. So he would want to defend himself. But he was stopped from testifying in the E. Jean Carroll trial. So he can be controlled to that extent. He can't be controlled on Truth Social, but he can be controlled from testifying. So I think if he didn't testify at that one, he has to be convinced that it would harm him in this case. So I don't think that he will, which is unfortunate because it would be awesome. But anyway, the trial is still coming. 2.5 weeks from now, we'll begin. We're going to be giving you, to the extent that information is revealed from the daily, the daily courtroom stuff, we're going to be going over it and see what happens, because this is not like the other trials. This is a criminal one. Literal jail time is possibly on the line. So we'll be following that.
Is it going to be the position of the RNC in 2024 that the 2020 election was not fairly decided or that it was stolen somehow?
Well, I think we're past that. I think that's in the past. We learned a lot. Certainly, we took a lot of notes. Right now, we have 23 states that have 78 lawsuits in these states to ensure that it is harder to cheat and easier to vote.
Okay, so Laura Trump, now head of the RNC for some reason, having nothing to do with whose family she's a part of, says that they're past the big lie. It's in the past, but is it in the past? Because you went directly from saying it's in the past to saying we're still lodging dozens of BS lawsuits all over the country over our conspiracy theories. So it seems like it's still kind of out there. At least the spirit of it is still out there. And beyond even just that, they're still directly claiming that the election was stolen in 2020. I mean, like Donald Trump, the candidate himself, last weekend, he said that because Laken Riley had been murdered by a migrant that he says wouldn't be in the country if the election wasn't rigged, that you can blame it, I guess, on Joe Biden. So that was last weekend that he claimed the election was rigged, that it was stolen from him. So I guess if it's in the past, it's the recent past, I suppose. Just a couple of weeks ago, he bleated this. talking about Mark Thiessen, the Rhino Bush apologist, and he says the election was rigged. The capital E election was all caps rigged. That was just a couple of weeks ago. Does Lara Trump not follow him on True Social? That could put her in some trouble. But anyway, like throughout, like it's all over the place. He's at campaign rallies claiming not just that the election was stolen in 2020, he's already pre-claiming that the next one will be stolen. You can see in this headline. At all of his rallies, he tells them that the election will be stolen. Some Republicans, maybe like Lara Trump, who are trying to be a little bit more responsible and help him to win the election, are like, when you claim that the election is rigged, it makes people not go out and vote. So could you please stop doing that? And so maybe she just means that she's moved on from that. Because I want to remind you that she was one of those advancing the big lie. Days after the election, she posted on social media casting doubt on Dominion voting machines. A month later, you know, in advance of January 6th, she posted again calling doubt or casting doubt on the election results in Michigan. And so maybe she's just not talking about it. But whether she's talking about it or not, it seems to be following in her wake because she's at the head of the RNC right now. And it sure seems to be important for people trying to get jobs at the RNC. As you can see in this article, those being interviewed for jobs at the new Lara Trump headed RNC are being asked open-ended questions about the nature of the 2020 election. Specifically, one employee said they were asked, was the 2020 election stolen? And they say it's open-ended. So theoretically, you could answer any way you want. But quote, if you say the election wasn't stolen, do you really think you're gonna get hired? And no, I don't think that you will. So what Lara Trump is doing there might seem responsible at first glance, but that's all it's good for. And that's really all it's designed to be good for. They wanted a moment in social media where they can claim to be responsible political actors. Meanwhile, in all of their rallies, their private engagements, and even in their hiring practices, they're still advancing the same anti-democratic lies that they have been for 4 years. Sharon, what do you think?
Well, I have a headache. That's what I think. And it makes her job so difficult. I mean, you have to, I guess, cover her, you know, Trump's daughter-in-law who now has taken over the RNC and gonna clean it up, clean it dry, whatever, drain it. Okay. But if we're just going to tell more lies, and I didn't see the interview, so it's unfair to say I want more pushback, but I want more pushback. I want exactly what you just did. I want her old tweets presented to her, and I want to keep asking her the same question until people try to run me out of there and say, you're badgering her. Okay. That's what I need. Otherwise, it's no fun. It's just no fun. I have a headache.
Yeah. Look, I wish that he had the tweets ready to go. You know, if you're gonna ask a question like that, you gotta be ready for what their answer is. Like, and journalists seem, I don't know, they almost seem like they don't want to learn that lesson, or they don't want to like accept that that's a lesson you could learn, that you could be ready for these sorts of things. And in particular, like I understand she doesn't do a lot of interviews, so we don't necessarily know how she's gonna answer questions like we do with Trump. But when you ask Trump a question, you could script out easily what he's gonna say because he always says the same thing. So not being ready for it should be completely unacceptable. But we know that he's been claiming that the election has been stolen, and we know that he's going to do that again. In that, because you said you didn't see the interview, in that interview, they talk about, as I said, some of the ways that she's trying to be, I guess, more responsible. So they've previously demonized things like ballot harvesting or early voting or mail-in voting, even though Republicans have done it for decades. All of a sudden, it was a thing you weren't supposed to do because Trump, for some reason, didn't like it. Well, she announced that now that's a thing that they're going to be encouraging. They're going to be trying to get people to do that. Well, good luck, because Trump is going to demonize those practices for a very good reason. It is not that he genuinely thinks that those techniques are like they open the door to fraud or they're inherently unethical or something like that. He is terrified that he is going to lose. And when and if he loses, he wants his audience to never for a second stop to think if maybe he just got beat. If he wasn't good enough, if he wasn't persuasive enough, if people hated his guts too much, they want them to immediately transition over to, oh yeah, you know, he said they were gonna rob us through mail-in voting and early voting. And hey, what do you know? It looks like they did it. That's why he did it in 2020. And that's what he's gonna do again. So good luck to Lara Trump. She's trying to head up a more responsible RNC, but unfortunately the candidate is still Donald Trump and the dude can't learn. Any other thoughts?
No, I think you're exactly right. I'll say this though about journalists, it's uncomfortable. And I don't wanna even disparage, you know, that one. because I think it's uncomfortable to sit before some. I don't have a problem with it. Saying, well, that's a lie, you know, strapping them up, and, you know, zap them or something. I think that would be beautiful. But I also think certain news organizations don't get it. And they want to still try to, Ronna McDaniel, okay? They want to please another viewer who is in love with the lie, who doesn't want the truth. And you can't have it both ways. You have to just go in, tell the truth, and not really worry about who you offend. They're not going to like you anyway. That's just what I think. It's uncomfortable. It's not that they're not ready. How could they not be ready for that? Come on.
Yeah. Look, I guess I have to sort of, I guess, like you said, sort of speak out in defense of them. One, they barrage you with so many lies, particularly Donald Trump, with so many lies that if you get into, I'm going to fact check all these, it's impossible. You literally can't do it, especially because he won't actually respond to what you said. So I understand that that's difficult. I get it. Also, these people are far more brazen liars than anything these people have encountered over the past few decades. That's definitely true. And also, we have to bear in mind that, like, it's easy to just look at the person being interviewed and the interviewer, but we have to understand the context is who is going to be watching this. And the standards, like, amongst those viewing it are really out of whack. People don't care if the person they like on TV is making a good case. They care that they like the person on TV. Carrie Lake or whatever, we're going to talk about her in a moment, could just openly lie. Laura Trump could just openly lie. And if it's a lie that makes them feel good, it doesn't matter if they provide evidence. It doesn't matter if it gets immediately fact checked. They like that it's said, because statements of fact or even things that are masquerading as statements of fact are not evaluated based on how they comport with reality. They're evaluated based on how warm they make my tummy feel. And that is unfortunately how way too many Americans, including full grown adults, approach the news and the media. Anyway, with that said, we're going to move on to our final story with the time remaining. I'm going to read a few comments beforehand. Greg Morrison sent us a super chat saying Trump knows how to calmly speak when he's being deposed. The problem for him is he'll look weak and incompetent. Yes, so we have seen some of that deposition tapes, even in the E. Jean Carroll trial. We did see that, and he does seem more restrained in that. I guess because it's not live. Like, the dude likes to perform, but when you're being deposed, it doesn't feel like a performance. So I don't necessarily know if that has much to say with how he would act if he were actually live testifying, especially if he thought that the audio or the video was actually going to be made available. And as of right now, I haven't actually seen what access in terms of audio or video we'll have to this trial. If anyone is familiar with that, feel free to let us know. Okay, with that said, let's see. Goose Jail says Trey's interview with Swalwell was really good. That's awesome. Hut D says, nope, you do not look like Jorby. You look like John. I like your hat, John. Thank you. I'm sure Jorby will be glad to hear that too. Apollo Racer said, diet purple, I think a reference to the idea that I'm getting my hair cut later. I probably will not, but thank you. I'm sure actually if I did, my daughter would probably find it very interesting. She gets, her mind is blown when you put on glasses, so purple hair would probably really freak her out. But anyway, with that said, why don't we move on to our final story, starting with this.
It is a political witch hunt, and everyone knows it. By participating in this lawsuit, it would only serve to legitimize this perversion of our legal system and allow bad actors to interfere in our upcoming election. So I won't be taking part.
So that raw, unadulterated video of Carrie Lake is her admitting that she is not going to participate in the defamation lawsuit that was lodged against her over her claims that she made in the wake of the 2022 election against Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richer. So Stephen Richer, obviously, election official, she lost the election. And because she comes from the Trump wing of the party, that's not acceptable to just admit that you lost. So instead, you lash out at people. In this case, Stephen Richer, and you lie about him stealing the election from you. The thing is, that's defamation. And so she's not participating. But that's not really how like lawsuits work. So it's still going to go forward. It just might be a bit quicker, and she's not really going to challenge it. But she still could suffer consequences, including monetary consequences. I want to give you a little bit more from her before we discuss. She tweeted, the political elite will do anything to hold on to power and stop outsiders like me. They've resorted to filing a ludicrous defamation lawsuit to try to stop me and bleed me dry. It's not ludicrous. You lied about the guy. You knew when you said the things they were lies. He just sued you over it. That's what defamation lawsuits are about. But taking part in this lawfare just legitimizes it. Again, everything that challenges them is lawfare. They sue people left and right. That's not lawfare. Okay, all the lawsuits against the Biden family and stuff like that, that's not lawfare. You know, Elon Musk trying to shut down that center that did the reporting on hate speech is not lawfare, okay? Because it's coming from the right. That's how words work. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. What I love about that is she's an outsider. They're the political elites who will do anything to hold on to power. She's a person who ran for office, was resoundingly defeated, and now cannot conceive of doing anything other than running for office again. You're not an outsider, you're a perpetual candidate in the close Trump orbit who hangs out in Mar-a-Lago. What do you think outsider means? And you sure seem like you'll do anything to gain power, at least in the first place. You know you could get a job, right? Like she used to be on TV, like in a reporter or something. You could do that again. You don't just have to run for office every 2 years for the rest of your life. I don't understand why these people, they get that taste of like the notoriety or the clout, and they can never conceive of being an accountant or something. There's a dignity to just working. I'll never understand these people. In any event, Sharon, I do want to turn to you. The defamation lawsuit is going to go forward. We might see like a skipping to the damages portion. There could still be discovery where there's some discussion of the claims that she made against him. Maybe some discussion about the harm that he suffered as a result of it. We will have to see. The future of this case is a little bit murky, as well as the timeline. But bear in mind that she is involved in election right now. So what do you think?
I think that I can't wait till they get to the damages portion. I'm guessing, I don't know, $460 million in damages. I mean, she did a lot of harm to the person who's suing her, and she caused a lot of hurt here. But you mentioned that, oh, you could just get a regular job. She was an anchor, a prominent anchor in Phoenix. I know something about local news anchors and everything you just, they don't really want to work. We don't really necessarily want to work. So this is what she's doing. If you go off the air, some people think that you don't exist anymore. And this is, she's loving every bit of it. The problem is when all the money goes to Trump and his lawyers at the top, there's not going to be anything left to pay her damages. Okay, nothing at all. But I also think she's taken a page brilliantly out of his playbook with her statement and that glow light. What is that light she
has? It's beautiful. I mean, look, I got
just incredible.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to act like I don't have lights, Rigby, or whatever. You know, I don't necessarily, I'm not getting washed out to quite the same extent, but I prefer a more authentic, real look. But anyway, look, that is one of the least objectionable things about Carrie Lake. The fact that she is a willful tool in the picking apart of American democracy is the bigger issue. And at least for the near future, the election is the big issue. So I'm glad that they're expediting this because I think we should know what the final resolution of it is going to be. I don't like that she seems to be hoping that this will make less news, that people will have less of an accurate idea of the sort of lies that she slings around. It'll be on the media to make sure that they still report on this. So I leave that to them. For now, though, recent polling indicates that with Kyrsten Sinema not going to be involved in this election, Ruben Gallego, the Democratic candidate, is at about 44% of the vote, and Carrie Lake is at 40%. So that's good. That's positive. It's not nearly good enough, though, is it? Like, when you really stop and think about this, she has no qualification to be a senator. She ran for office, she told some lies about elections, and she's hung out at a golf course for 2 years. Other than that, why should she be the senator? I don't know. And she's 4 points down under Ruben Gallego, a guy who's actually served in office. But anyway, any concern about that? Any predictions about how it might go before we close things out?
Well, yeah, because it's within the margin of error. So she could actually pull this thing off, and it could hinge on what you said a few moments ago about the media doing their job here. Also, if she loses, it could be so close, she'll be able to claim the lie again.
Oh yeah, no matter what, if she loses, she's definitely gonna claim the lie. I don't understand why any Republican would admit defeat from now on. There's no incentive to do so. But I will say that if you're lagging behind by 4 points now, and you're probably gonna end up losing this defamation lawsuit, and that'll be a round of negative news, what you could use, Carrie Lake, is a candidate who will bring in support for your party, bring over independent voters. But unfortunately, you hitched your wagon to Donald Trump, a guy who has never demonstrated an ability to do that. So that might be the difference between Senator Carrie Lake or Carrie Lake looking for another thing to run for in 2 years, but stay tuned to find out. That is unfortunately all the time we have for the first hour of the show. Thank you everyone who's watching. For those of you who are watching live, there's more to come in the aftermath, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.